Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Michelle Konezvic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend John Glennon from NHL.com. Also covers the Titans for SI.com as well. Johnny, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are great. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, no moves of consequence yesterday for the Nashville Predators, John. How surprised were you that they were not more active on the opening day of free agency?
I would say a bit. You know, I think David Poile had certainly indicated there was interest in adding a forward, preferably a top six forward. There were some out there, but you know, I thought it was interesting just the other day, you know, kind of hearing David Poile sort of take a look ahead towards free agency. And despite the fact that he was, you know, kind of interested in maybe a top six guy, he also didn't sound like a guy who wanted to commit to a big multi-year deal with another player as well. And you know, so I wonder if that kind of limits your options a little bit, because certainly, you know, if you're a one of the top players in free agency right now, you know, and you're not an older player, you're probably looking for a big multi-year deal. So maybe that limited the options a little bit. Maybe he's looking for somebody that he can get to a shorter term contract. You know, maybe it's a 2 or a 3 year deal. So maybe you're looking a little older. Maybe there's still a few guys out there that are still available to the Preds.
John, what would you do? Is there a player that you would target that's left in free agency or perhaps on the trade market that you think would fit what David Poile is looking for?
Yeah, you know, and again, I know it was interesting to me to hear him kind of talk about the specifics, and it didn't sound like he wanted, like I said, a big multi-year deal. But, you know, maybe at the same time, if you can find a workable deal, I think there are some players, you know, like a Niederreiter, certainly from Carolina. You know, is a consistent 20-goal scorer going to add some grit and some nasty up front? I think, you know, that's somebody that you certainly have to kick the tires on. You know, Kadri, Nazem Kadri, is 32 years old, and you don't know necessarily what the next contract will be, but, you know, a terrific year last year, of course. I think you have to look there. I don't, you know, I saw Robbie's tweet the other day on Mr. Kessel.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, it's worth a look for Phil Kessel. You know, he's 34 years old. The last season he was playing for an awful team, and he did not have a very good year at all, only 8 goals. But he's basically a professional goal scorer. So, you know, if you want to take a look at him still, despite the age, probably worth a look. And you know, Adam, you mentioned trade too. You know, I was reading, certainly about Columbus and the Johnny Gaudreau signing. Maybe that opens up some players from Columbus. You know, they're going to have to get under the cap now. And, you know, maybe a player, say like a Gustav Nyquist, you know, who the Preds have looked at least in the past, maybe he's the kind of guy who becomes available and the Preds look to add someone like him.
It's an interesting spot that they're in, John, because with McDonough coming in on defense, it's hard for me to imagine, not this season, but in 2023, it's difficult for me to imagine Carrier and Fabro both on the roster at that time, because they both got expiring contracts at the end of this year. McDonough is going to be, you know, eating up $6.75 million, and I would assume that one of those two guys is not going to be in the top four this year. So if they're not going to be in the top four, how much money do you really want to pay a third pair of defensemen? So with that in mind, I do wonder, like, if trading one of those two guys, and probably more specifically Fabro, if that could be on the table for the Predators this offseason.
Certainly a possibility. You know, I think I would agree with you, too. If they did, you know, go in that direction, I would lean towards it more likely being Fabro. You know, there's a sort of a sense that maybe he is kind of stalled in terms of progress a bit, you know, that there's still that upside, there's still that potential. You know, I think the Preds would like to see him reach, but, you know, it hasn't always shown itself consistently enough, whereas Alexander Carrier seems to be, you know, gradually moving up in terms of progression and his play. So, yeah, you know, I think that is certainly a possibility. It depends on what you've got, you know, coming up in the pipeline as well. But yeah, certainly when you've added Ryan McDonagh, all of a sudden, you know, your defensive pairings, are looking so much better. And of course, you've also, signed Lauzon, for a longer term deal too. So your depth is much better and allows you probably to make one of those moves if you want.
John, before you came on, Robbie ranted about the backline supporters' list of demands. As our resident soccer hooligan, I'd be curious for your take on the backline's demands of the Nashville SC front office.
I thought it was a bold step by the supporters. I was intrigued by some of the demands/desires.
The discount at the bar, right? That was what you were intrigued by.
The number 4-1 on there was certainly the most intriguing to me. It was basically like, and for goodness sakes, give us some discounted beer. You know, we're out here cheering our lungs out. How about a break at the bar? And then the first one, it was like, we're sort of demanding, a quarterly meeting with the executives, yeah, including Ian Ayer, basically the CEO. I think if they can get something like that, I'd love to join the Nashville SC supporters, because as a media member, I'm sure a lot of us would like to get quarterly meetings with the CEO of our franchise as well. I clearly they have some desires, and maybe that's, I think you have to be sensitive about that if you're Nashville SC and at least communicate with them. If they got all those demands they're looking for, hey, good luck to them, and maybe they can buy us all a beer with the new discount.
That's right. John Glennon from NHL.com on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, John, switching back to the Predators, it seems like Philip Tomasino is in their plans to be a top-six forward, which I have no problem with. I guess my question for you is, do you think that he's ready to be a top-six forward based on what you saw in year one from him on a full-time basis?
Yeah, I think he is certainly moving in the right direction. I think that potential looks like it's going to be realized at some point. Whereas you take a look maybe at an Elie Tolvanen, and you're not that sure. Because again, he seems like a guy who has stalled a bit, and you're not sure how well he'll be moving up. But Tomasino's going to get there. Yeah, I think it's just a question of whether it's this coming year or next. I think he's certainly proven that he can score goals, that he can make a difference offensively. And, I think he's turning into a pretty solid all-around player as well. But, maybe just the kind of the physical demands of the game as well. Maybe we'll see another year kind of growth for Philip Tomasino in that direction. A guy that comes to mind also, obviously, I guess, Tanner Janot, is it time? We've probably asked this question a few times last season or two. Is he the kind of guy that maybe he gets a top six shot here at some point? I know certainly John Hines and the Predators love that herd line and the mentality that it brings to the team, but could a guy like Tanner Janot, who scored over 20 goals last year, in that role, what might he get if he's getting top six situation? So certainly there are some intriguing options right now in terms of that top six for the Preds.
I would be curious, John, to hear how much better you think this team is, because Robbie and I were talking about it earlier in the show that I think some people forget that they did trade for Ryan McDonagh, and that makes them better on defense, but their forward group remains a question about whether or not they can get the necessary secondary scoring to be more competitive. So it certainly feels like there is some, I'm not sure exactly what the word is, consternation perhaps among Predators fans in terms of, is this team really that much better than it was at the end of last season? I know that it's an incomplete picture, but based on the roster now, what do you make of it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, really, they made their big free agent splash, if you will, by making that trade and picking up Ryan McDonagh, at $6 or $7 million for the next 4 years. So, you know, when I look at the Preds' defense as it stands right now, and you're going to have Lozon in there for a full year, you're going to have McDonough in there, I think the decor is noticeably better and deeper than it was last year. And you have to include, of course, Carrier getting better and Fabbro, you know, potentially heading in that direction too. Yeah, I think there are still certainly questions because last year you ended with a group that did not have enough secondary scoring below the Forsberg-Duchesne level. And what have you done to supplement that? Well, to date, nothing, really. And again, you know, maybe Tomasino is ready to fill one of those roles, but we don't know for sure at this point. Maybe Janot is the guy that can step in there, but we don't know that for sure. So I still think, you know, and you know, as great a move as it was, I think, for the Preds to bring back Forsberg, we all know he was there last year, had over 40 goals. You know, and still it was a first-round loss in the playoffs for the Preds. So, yeah, there's still a hole, at least one hole to be filled up there. Whether that is one of the remaining free agents, whether that comes by a trade, I think there is another move to be made to you just have to address the depth, I think, of the top six forwards.
John, last thing for you. Which Columbus contract was more shocking yesterday? Johnny Gaudreau deciding to go to the Blue Jackets or the fact that they gave Eric freaking Gudbranson 4 years and $16 million guaranteed?
That's a legitimate question right there. That is a very good question. But, yeah, certainly the just mind-blowing to me was the Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, it was – interesting. I read some of his comments. You know, Aaron Portzline had a story late last night in The Athletic and quoted Johnny Gaudreau. And you know, it was interesting to hear, you know, Johnny Gaudreau is just kind of like, hey, I really liked playing over there over the years. It seemed like a fun place, you know, that the cannon's loud and there's a lot of enthusiastic fans. Hey, woohoo, let's do it. And you're kind of scratching your head. I mean, In one way, I think it's great for Columbus. You know, it's a small market team that doesn't usually get the big hits like this. So good for them. And I think it's an underrated city also, Columbus. So good for that. But from Johnny Gaudreau's point of view, this is a team that was 20 points out of the playoffs last year. You know, you're going from a Calgary team that, you know, that finished first in the Pacific, you know, was probably going to be a Stanley Cup contender. And you know, you didn't get close to your hometown, as everyone suspected, whether that would be Philly or New Jersey or the Islanders. So it's a head scratcher, but you know, from his quotes, he sounds like a very happy guy, and who wouldn't, you know, with new contract. But good luck to him there. I hope he can lift that franchise because certainly they're going to have to move a player or two now to make sure he gets in under the cap.
Yeah, maybe he's a big Ohio State fan. Who knows? But congratulations to Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah. Maybe Braves talked him a little bit. You know, leading up to that, we just don't know.
Maybe so. John Glenner from NHL.com, SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. John, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the inactivity from the Preds yesterday on day one of NHL free agency? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got a nice visit from the suit in the break. Always good to see Chase McCabe here on the program.
I've never seen Chase. Well, I've actually seen Chase in a suit.
Well, I've seen him in a suit many times.
He's wearing a Nashville Speedway polo, Chase?
Super Speedway.
Super Speedway. It's super.
Yeah.
It's not just a Speedway. Yeah. It's a super Speedway.
That is correct. Chase McCabe. He did throw out the prediction yesterday that the Predators will have a forward by the time the DDC comes on the air today at 10 o'clock.
You have 1 hour and 41 minutes.
Get that thing done. It can happen. Free agency is open. Unlike yesterday, there are things that can actually happen on our show today that are official. So we'll see what goes on there. I think the Red Wings have signed Mark Pisick as well on defense. So they're just signing people left and right.
And Olli Maatta as well. The Red Wings have been absolutely
and just signing everyone.
One of the busier teams in the league. You know, we were talking earlier today about former Predators now on other teams, and we mentioned that Matt Benning signed a 4-year contract with the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that previously Matt Benning had never signed a contract longer than 2 years.
Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? I mean, look, I think Matt Benning had some moments where he's like, okay, I mean, he's a halfway decent third pair defenseman.
Yes.
4 years?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it, but when you're in a situation like San Jose where you're probably not as much of a desirable destination as you once were, you're going to have to give a little to get players to come.
Yeah.
You know, so Matt Benning, who has never had that type of security on a contract, I'm sure he wasn't getting a 4-year offer from anybody else.
But his eyes lit up yesterday.
So, yeah, you jump on that. So, good for Matt. You know, he was a solid enough player here. When he played his role well. It just, you know, there wasn't any more room for him here. And
yep.
Good luck in San Jose.
Good luck in San Jose. So, Adam, not much activity from the Preds yesterday. We'll get to kind of what they do moving forward here in just a few minutes. But I'll just start with this question. How surprised were you that day one of NHL free agency comes and goes and really nothing from the Predators on the NHL roster side of things, particularly obviously at top six forward?
Yeah, I was moderately surprised. I thought that the Predators would try to strike a deal with someone to fill that spot, and it didn't happen. It doesn't have to happen on the first day, but that's the day where a lot of the top players end up finding new homes, and the Predators, other than some depth moves, they didn't do anything of significance. But then again, very rarely do the Predators do things of significance in free agency. You know, I've made this I've mentioned this before, that if you go to Cap Friendly and you sort the signings by cap hit, and you limit it to players signed in free agency, if I recall off the top of my head, the three largest free agent signings that the Predators have made, and this does not include re-signings, based on Cap Friendly's database, are Matt Duchene, Jason Arnott, and Nick Bonino.
Yeah.
Those are the three biggest free agent deals the Predators have made, according to the data available at Cap Friendly. So they typically don't make huge splashes in free agency. You think of the past couple of years, you know, 2 years ago, they signed Mark Borowiecki and Matt Benning. They've signed, Scott Hartnell a few years ago after he was bought out by Columbus. You know, they signed Nick Bonino after the Stanley Cup final run. You know, they don't make those huge, Yannick Weber, they don't make those huge deals in free agency. So, you know, in that case, it's not that surprising, but they have a need and they haven't filled it yet. I think based on what the Predators are trying to accomplish, what David Poile told Willie, Darren, and Chase about, keeping the term low. I mean, you're not going to get, a top six caliber player on a low term, most likely. So you're going to have to explore the trade route, which is why we talked so much yesterday about Max Pacioretty, who was ultimately traded to Carolina for nothing. And I've mentioned Alex Killorn today. You mentioned JT Miller. You know, those are the players that would accomplish multiple things for the Predators. One, it would make them better in the top six. Two, both of those players have 1 year left on their deals. Three, they're not terribly expensive. Killorn, I think, was 4.45 against the cap, and Miller was about 5.25. So yeah. You're not committed to them past 1 year. It'd be interesting to see what the returns on those deals would be. But, that seems to be at this point probably the best path forward for the Predators, no pun intended, to find a top six forward that can help them immediately.
I think so too. And it's also one of those things where, the Pacioretty trade yesterday, where you see him go from Vegas to Carolina for essentially nothing. He was traded for future considerations, which mean nothing. They were given to Carolina. Like that leaves you, and there's a lot of Preds fans that saw that move yesterday, and they tweeted me, and they're just like, good gracious. Just got Max Pacioretty, a 30-goal scorer, for free, pretty much. Now, you got to pay the contract, and Carolina's in the East, so it's a little bit easier of a pill for Vegas to swallow there, and You know, who knows?
What terrible asset management.
That very bad.
That I mean, and that's not just this for Vegas.
No.
You know, it happened with
Fleury.
It happened with Fleury. I mean, think about it this way. So one of the first major moves that the Knights made their first season was they traded, I believe, a first, a second, and a third for Tomas Tatar.
Yeah.
And he was basically scratched throughout that entire Stanley Cup final run. They end up flipping Tatar and Nick Suzuki and another pick to Montreal for Max Pacioretty. And then they just traded Max Pacioretty for nothing.
Yeah.
So those are the perils of spending to the cap. And this just crossed my Twitter feed now that Twitter is back. So yesterday, the Philadelphia Flyers, we mentioned, they said they were never really in on Johnny Gaudreau. And they've made some head-scratching moves. You're not really sure which direction the Flyers are going in. So apparently there were some fans who showed up to the Flyers practice rink in southern New Jersey to heckle GM Chuck Fletcher during his press conference. And Charlie O'Connor, who writes about the Flyers for The Athletic, this was a quote from one of those fans, TJ Edwards. And I think it speaks to what Predators fans are feeling right now, although the Predators are in a better place than the Flyers are. And this is what that fan said, quote, "I just want us to pick a direction. Are we going to go for it? If we're going to go for it, then let's go for it. If not, let's tear it down and rebuild. The middle ground's getting us nowhere. I'm sick and tired of this mediocrity." I think
that, I wouldn't even say they're mediocre right now, but yeah.
No, I think those that Flyers fan speaks for a lot of Predators fans. Pick a direction. Are you trying to be competitive and compete for a championship? If you're not, then stop making these sorts of moves that keep you firmly in that middle ground. I think that upset Flyers fan speaks for a lot of Predators fans as well right now.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators and the inactivity yesterday in free agency. Some high-level free agents off the board, some interesting names we thought could be attached to the Predators off the board as well. So where do they go from here? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Attention men! Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Good. Hey, guys, listen up. For 30 years, we've had the pill with all of its side effects, those continuous visits to the pharmacy, plus the lack of spontaneity. And Harvard reported it doesn't even work on 30% of men. Well, here we go. We have a technology now, not a pill, and it's called acoustic wave therapy. Gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, causing them to expand, oftentimes repair themselves. And let me tell you guys, more blood flow means better results in the bedroom.
So, Miles, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Log on to our website. You'll find 60 independent clinical studies from 5 different countries. Harvard and Cambridge have both looked at this. They call it safe and effective, and some even call it the new standard of care for treating ED.
And you've got a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
That's right. Call us right now. We'll give you the exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound all for free. Plus, I got a gift. Guys, you're going to love this. Worth hundreds of dollars. You won't pay for that as well. All of this, you have nothing to lose by getting on the other side of your ED.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without you, so please help however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew from Franklin texting in says, seeing Max Pacioretty go for free to Carolina really makes me wonder what we're doing. How did we not get in on that? Again, something to keep in mind. Just because a trade worked out somewhere else does not mean the Predators were not in on the trade. Now, I have no idea if they were or not, but we can't just assume that they weren't.
Right. And
at some point, David Poile will talk again, and maybe we'll ask him.
Right, and I'm sure he won't tell us whether or not they were in on it. Excuse me. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, they moved about $7.7 million off their cap because they threw in a young defenseman named Dylan Coughlin.
Yep.
To make that move work, and that was probably the negotiation. You know, the Hurricanes agreed to take on all of Pacioretty's deal, but they probably said, "We need to throw us, you know, a young player to make it worth it." You know, I think back to this was several years ago. Speaking of the Hurricanes took on Brian Bickle from the Chicago Blackhawks shortly after they won their most recent Stanley Cup. And in order to make that trade work, the Blackhawks also had to give up Teuvo Teravainen, who continues to be a very productive player for the Hurricanes all these years later. So that, you know, they're hoping maybe for a repeat of that. So, yeah, just because, as you said, just because it didn't work out for the Predators doesn't mean that they didn't acquire. We don't know if they inquired. But, yeah, I can understand why Predators fans are upset because Pacioretty would have been a huge upgrade.
Would have been a great fit.
Yeah, he would have been a great fit. And he would have checked off all of the boxes. But now the Predators are going to have to find another route to improve their top six.
Mike on the text line says, it doesn't matter who we sign in free agency. The re-signing of Forsberg to that ridiculous contract and still having the same GM, the Preds will never win. No star will want to play for the Preds. It's sad. This is coming from Mike on the text line. A ridiculous contract for Philip Forsberg, according to Mike.
No, I mean, I think it was a fair contract, but, you know, it is an interesting conversation as to why, you know, like I said, the Predators historically don't spend big in free agency. Is that, you know, and you know what? Honestly, that's probably wise because you make a lot of mistakes in free agency generally.
Free agency typically doesn't work out.
No, it doesn't. I mean, think about Matt Duchene, for example. The first 2 years of that contract did not look good at all. Last season did. It took some of the stink off that contract because he had a fabulous season, but it's still, you know, not a great deal. And we'll see what happens if he has another season like he did last year, then it becomes a better contract.
Sure.
But, yeah, you know, the Predators, you know, they're not usually in these big free agent sweepstakes. That's just not their game. But like I said, you know, and Jared talked a lot about this yesterday, that, you know, the confidence level in David Poile is incredibly low right now. And I think, you know, Predators fans are, you know, don't feel confident about the direction of the team. And that reflects on David, who, you know, I would argue hasn't done a great job of articulating exactly what they're doing. And, you know, I think, you know, I can't remember a time since I have been in Nashville where, you know, David Poile's approval rating has been as low as it seems to be right now.
Well, I can tell you, I don't think there's been a time in the history of the franchise where it's been as low as it is.
It also doesn't help that, you know, ownership as currently constituted has confidence in David to continue to be the head of the hockey operations department. You know, Herb Fritsch, the chairman, spoke a few weeks ago when it was announced that Bill Haslam was getting involved in ownership. And he basically gave David a vote of confidence, not the dreaded vote of confidence that usually leads to someone being fired a couple weeks later, but an actual vote of confidence, which doesn't come as a surprise. But I think hearing that from the chairman, who rarely, if ever, speaks, I think any fans that were wondering if David Poile could be on thin ice, so to speak, I think that discouraged them.
Justin from Nashville texting in says, free agency has been our only option for forwards, given Poyle's terrible offensive drafting for 20-plus years. I mean, first off, you're not. Yeah, they're going to have to draft better.
Yes.
With forwards. And we'll see. I mean, they've got Svechkov, they've got Evangelista, they've got LaRue. You know, we'll see if any of those guys turn into anything as they move forward here. You know, Tomasino they drafted. So they've been drafting more higher level forwards in terms of just draft position as of late. So we'll see if any of those guys turn into anything. I don't necessarily agree with free agency has been the only option for forwards. I mean, let's think about their top six right now.
Philip Forsberg was a trade.
Ryan Johansson was a trade.
Matt Duchene was a free agent signing.
Mikhail Granlund was a trade. So you're talking about three of the four pillars that are currently in your top six were acquired via trade. And quite frankly, I think that's the way whoever they end up with next in the top six, they could sign somebody in free agency today, and maybe that's the way they go. But the way that they've handled this so far kind of makes me feel like they're looking for another trade.
Yeah. So Forsberg was a trade. Duchene was a free agent. Johansson was a trade. Granlund was a trade. I'm just going down their roster right now. Colton Sissons was a draft pick. Eli Tolvanen was a draft pick. Philip Tomasino was a draft pick. Tanner Janot was an undrafted free agent. Yakov Trenin was a draft pick. Roman Josi was a draft pick. Matias Ekholm was a draft pick. Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier were draft picks. Ryan McDonough was a trade. And UC Saros was a draft pick.
Yep.
So they have, you know, they have drafted players that remain core players. The problem is that a lot of those draft picks were a long time ago.
Exactly. You need some guys to step in on entry. I mean, Forsberg said it with us the other day. Like, you got to have guys on entry level deals that come in and overperform, and they just really haven't had that. Now, I shouldn't say that they haven't had that at the top six level. I mean, Tanner Janot, no question about it, has overperformed. Yakov Trenin, as of late, has played really well. I mean, they've had some guys come in on lower roles and overperform. But can you find – that's why a guy like Evangelista is so interesting to me as they move forward. Maybe not this year, but next year. Like, can that scoring translate to the NHL level? And can you get a dynamic player on an entry-level contract? Because, I mean, you brought this up, I feel like, 100 times at this point over the last few months of who are those guys that are 25 or younger on the Predators – that are potentially elite-level players. You know, Askarov is in goal. We'll see if he turns out to be an elite-level player or not. Other than that, I don't know if that player exists. I mean, that's what you got to find.
Yeah, that's what you have to find, especially if you're planning on being a cap team. You know, you have to find those contributors that aren't making a lot of money. Now, there are some guys on the roster, like Alex Carrier, for example, who's making, I think, less than league minimum right now just based on when he signed that contract.
Yeah.
And that's great value. I would like to say some. Yesterday, I was listening to Jared and Caroline yesterday, and Jared was campaigning for the Predators to trade Alex Carrier because his value is high right now because he was playing in a top four role and was named to the all rookie team in the NHL.
Okay,
and I think he mentioned multiple picks or prospects for Alex Carrier. I'd like Jared to temper those expectations. If you're trading Alex Carrier, you're not getting a ransom for Alex Carrier.
I mean, multiple picks, you could get a fourth and fifth rounder, maybe.
Maybe.
There's multiple
but
picks.
But you're not getting high-end prospects or high picks for Alex Carrier. I'm sorry.
No, you are not.
And he wouldn't be the one I would trade.
No.
I would trade Dante Fabro.
Yes, I totally
agree. I had to choose between the two.
Mike on the text line says, hey, Robin, do you think Johnny Gaudreau will have a VIP seat at Urban Meyer's bar in Columbus? My advice would be to Johnny Gaudreau.
Don't do what Urban Meyer does.
Yeah, try to avoid Urban Meyer's bar at all costs.
Yeah.
Even if you got Eric Branson with you on his new multi-million dollar deal.
Yeah.
Stay away from that bar in Columbus. Especially if Urban Meyer's there.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the Preds. Coming up next, we'll open up the phone line as well. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Michelle Knezevic on this Thursday morning. Speaking of Michelle Knezevic, she'll be down next week in SEC Media Day. She had no clue where I was going with that.
Yeah, I had no idea what you're about to say. I was like, yes, hello?
Speaking of Michelle, she can't pronounce I can't do it.
You screwed it up, so how does that feel?
Demumbrian. Say Demumbrian.
I always, when you're struggling, I always just say, Demon Bruin. That's what I do all the time.
No, I want Michelle to say Demumbrian again on the air.
Well, she's answering a phone call at the moment, so she can't
maybe,
do that.
Maybe someone's saying that she said it wrong again.
Michelle Knezevic, Caroline Fenton will be down at SEC Media Days next week. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and house fittings. Hose fittings, seals, packing joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the Preds' inactivity yesterday in free agency, and where do they go from here? Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jack from Nashville. Jack, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good. So I was thinking this McDonough trade, it kind of reminded me of the Titans picking up Danico Autry. It wasn't the most flashy move. Like, obviously, the biggest headline of Preds free agency was getting Forsberg signed, but I think his impact is going to might be the most beneficial move they make this offseason. What do you think about that?
Hey, thanks for the call, Jack. I love that comparison. You know, McDonough, I would say McDonough's probably even more of an established player and a big-time player than Danico Autry was relative to his position with the Titans, but I kind of love that comparison because I think McDonough makes the defense – not only does he by himself improve it individually based on where he's going to play, but I think right now with the depth chart as is, it slots everybody probably where they need to be, and – I think it's a big move for the Predators on the defensive side of things. Now, there's still a gigantic hole in the top six, and I'm fully aware of that, but I really like that comparison that Jack just threw out there.
Yeah, I think it's sound. And McDonough is a really good player at what he does, and he is going to make the defense better, which, as you said at the top of the show, Robbie, did struggle, especially down the stretch. You know, he throws his body at every puck. You know, he's in the, I think I said earlier in the week that he's sixth in the league in block shots since he started his career in 2010.
And by the way, he's played for some very good teams during that time. So it's not like he's just been hemmed in his own zone the whole time.
Right. You know, he played for the Rangers, you know, when they were you know, competing for Stanley Cups, and he obviously won two Stanley Cups with the Tampa Bay Lightning before coming to Nashville. So, you know, Ryan McDonough is a really good player, and I think he is going to help this team in the defensive zone. And I think that, again, is what Predators fans, I think, are caught between, is that they see the McDonough move and know it makes them better. But without a corresponding move up front, you know, how much better are they? You know, how many points does Ryan McDonough add to this team's record? You know, a couple? I mean, I would have to, you know, there are ways to figure that out. But, you know, Ryan McDonough makes this team better, yes. Does it make them, you know, how much further up the standings does it put them if that's the major move? Let's just say, I don't know what they're going to do it forward. Let's just say it's a average or slightly above average top six player, and that's it. You know, how much better in the standings are they with Ryan McDonough, a re-signed Philip Forsberg, and an insert top six player here?
It's a good question. I mean, a lot of that depends on, you know, are you going to get anywhere near the same production from Duchesne as you got last year? Johansson, as you got last year. I'll throw Yossi in there. I mean, 96 points is a heck of a bar that he put up there last year. I mean, there's some of that. But I'll also say this. Like, I think the division is going to be a little bit different as well. Like, is Minnesota going to be as strong without Kevin Fiala and with some of the money coming in from Parisian suitors, buyouts on their contracts? You know, what do we make so far of what Dallas has done in free agency? You know, Winnipeg, I don't think they're going to be very good. shout out to David Riddick for staying in the NHL and getting a back. Yeah,
I predicted he would be out of the NHL.
I thought there was a good chance.
So I was wrong there. But to your point, you know, and I think Caroline made this point yesterday, is, you know, is it a good thing to be excited about, you know, your team's chances because other teams around them have gotten worse? That's not really a great area to be if you're a fan. But if you just look at the Central Division, you know, Colorado, they lost Darcy Kemper.
Yep.
They lost Andre Burakovsky. Those were their major losses. But they have, you know, Alexander Georgiev from the New York Rangers to be their goaltender. They re-signed Valerie Nichushkin. They're losing Nazem Kadri as well, most likely. Minnesota lost Kevin Fiala. They lost Cam Talbot. St. Louis lost David Perron. They re-signed Robert Thomas. Dallas, they got Mason Marchment yesterday on what I thought was a really good value deal. They added Colin Miller. You know, Chicago and Arizona are bad. So it's just... And you look at even the Pacific. We know where Calgary is now without Johnny Gaudreau. I think Los Angeles is going to be better.
We'll
see what happens with Vegas now that they don't have Max Pacioretty. You know, there is a chance for the Predators to move up based on some of the other teams moving down, but I don't think that's a place you want to be if you're a Predators fan, just being happy that other teams might have gotten worse.
Got a texture that says, I'm just curious at what his plan is. He says one thing and then does another. He says we're going to concentrate on offense and then signs a $9 million in contracts to defensemen. And then he says we're going to go build with youth, but then goes and trades for a 30-plus-year-old defenseman as well. Now, just to clarify, the McDonough contract was $6.75 million. It was not nine.
Yes.
Just throw that out there.
Right.
If you add Lozon into it as well,
yes,
then there you go.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, it's hard to, you know, I don't want to, at the risk of repeating myself, it's just, you know, I think that there is just there's a lack of faith in the decision makers of this team in the hockey operations department. I just think that, you know, as we said the other day, you know, the moves that the Predators have made, if you just look at the moves without the other context, if you just look at the moves, you know, acquiring a two-time Stanley Cup winning defenseman who was a captain of an original six franchise for a defenseman that played surprisingly 20-something games in the NHL last year and a prospect that doesn't really have a lot of hype around him.
Yeah.
That's a good move. Ryan McDonough for Philip Myers and Grant Mismatch. That's a good move. But it just feels like the Predators are spinning their wheels here. And you know, I'm running out of ways to say that, but I think that's just how people feel.
I agree, but there's one part of this conversation that I think we got to get over that people keep bringing up, mm-hmm. and that's the, well, I thought they were getting younger. Well, they got younger. The younger part of it's over. Like they transitioned for 2 years, and they became one of the youngest teams in the league. We talked about this a couple of days ago. I think they were the second youngest team in the playoffs. Only L.A. was younger than they were. So, like, this idea of, oh, well, I thought they were getting younger. Well, that's already happened. They've already gotten younger. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they're like they're perpetually on some path to just continue getting younger every year. That's already happened. So, like, people keep bringing up, well, I don't know what the plan is because I thought they were getting younger. Well, they've already gotten younger. So they're not just going to continue getting younger and younger and younger and younger every year. At some point, you've gotten younger, and then you try to win and you try to build. Now, you can, I'm all here for the debate as to whether or not trying to win with this group is worth it in the long run because of whether or not they can win a Stanley Cup. I'm totally here for that. But I think, because I've seen a lot of this on text line today of, well, I thought the plan was to get younger. Well, that's already happened. Like, we got to get over that part of it. That's already done.
Yeah, I mean, think about their players that are 25 or younger. You know, Tanner Janot, Yakov Trenin, I believe, Alex Carrier, Ellie Tolvanen. You know, they've
gotten significantly younger.
Yeah, they do. You know, it's not, you know, Mike Fisher anymore or Dan Hamhuis or Pekka Rinne
or Kyle Turris,
Craig Smith.
They've gotten
Victor Arvidsson, Ryan Ellis. Like, they have gotten younger. The average age of the roster has declined. But, you know, I think where people maybe conflate that is the younger players are not you know, star younger players.
For sure.
I think that's where people are conflating the getting younger, because they're not necessarily getting younger and better.
Sure. And look, I totally agree with that. But like this idea that you can't make any moves anymore, like why would you sign a 33-year-old defenseman? I thought you were getting younger. Well, they've gotten younger. Like the idea now is to get better. But I totally agree. Like the one thing that they're really missing outside of a top six forward at the moment is the younger guy that's a star. And they just don't really appear to have that right now. So I totally agree with that part of it. I think we got to get over the, well, there you can't make that move because I thought you were getting younger. That's already happened, I think.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. And I think that what the Predators are clearly missing is that, you know, 21, 22, 23-year-old difference maker. I mean, like the Predators would be in a much better position if they had someone like Jason Robertson of Dallas on their team than where they are now. The problem is
and I don't know that Philip Tomasino is that level.
No. The problem is this, that the players that they're relying on, the players that are leading the charge offensively, are all older, quote unquote, either, you know, in their prime or maybe on the down part of their prime, whether it's Matt Duchene, who's in his early 30s, or Roman Josi, who's 30, or Ryan Johansson, who's approaching 30, Mikael Granlund, who's 30 or thereabouts. You know, that I think that's the issue, is that their top scorers are, in terms of points, are all older players. You know, and what are the chances that those players can continue to do that versus a player who, you know, let's say a player who's 23 on this team had 80 points. Well, there's room to grow, like Robert Thomas in St. Louis.
Yeah.
They don't have that type of player. And I think when you think about this team is getting younger, some fans are thinking about getting younger and getting those types of players, but they don't have any of those. And that's why I think there's that disconnect.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Got more of your thoughts to get to coming up next. Where do the Predators go from here after a day of inactivity yesterday in day one of NHL free agency? We'll continue that discussion next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.